Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and we're going to have a kind of a continuation of the show we had the other day about the events of Charlottesville. And my friend Andrea Miller is back on the call with me, but we have another guest who was kind of listening to our conversation on Sunday. His name is Tarahaka Bay, and he has a Blog Talk Radio show also. So, Andrea and Tarahaka, happy Friday. Let's start with you, Tarahaka. What do you think of the events that has been going on in Charlottesville?
Well, I think that was a terrible set of circumstances that took place down there, and I don't, in my personal opinion, I don't know what all the hoopla is about the statues. Me personally, I have done a great deal of research into Austere, which means people of Moorish or Egyptian descent that are native to this land. And if someone has a problem about a statue, most of us have homes and land and stuff. Or why don't you simply erect a statue of your heroes on your land and bring your children before it and teach it to them? There's no commotion. The statues are inanimate objects. They represent something to someone. And if it doesn't represent to you what you think it ought to be, then you should erect what does on your property. That's my take on that.
Andrea, what's been happening in Virginia since we spoke last?
Well, there is a very, very, very strong move to remove the statues and remove all of them. The great-great-grandsons of Robert E. Lee, of Jefferson Davis, and Stonewall Jackson have all issued statements that basically say, take them down and put them in a museum. The problem with the statues is they are on public property. And so they were put there, many of them, during the age of resistance, basically a way for, in many cases, cities to show we are not supporting the reconstruction requirements. We are going to continue to celebrate racism, slavery, and racial hatred and white supremacy. And again, all the generals' great-great-grandchildren agree that is what the statues represent. So my idea of a statue that is out in the community, not on your public property, but out in the community along a boulevard, let's lift up something that is uplifting and the community agrees that it should be there. When those statues were erected, Black people didn't have a vote. Basically, they had no say.
Now, do you think that the president will go along with what you're saying, Andrea, for the sake of unity in this country?
Well, number one, the president has no interest in unity in this country one way or the other. He never did. So what's happening and what's interesting is Nancy Pelosi yesterday called for the removal of all the Confederate statues from the Capitol. But the really important thing is we don't totally want to get too hung up completely on the statues, because what happened in Charlottesville really didn't have anything to do with the statues. The folks that came into Charlottesville were Nazis. And what we tell people is, look, they walked in, they were wearing military uniforms, they were carrying guns, they did not come for free speech, they came to cause trouble. They wore the Nazi insignia, they carried the regalia, they told us that they were Nazis. Okay, I'm willing to believe them. They were Nazis.
Charhoka, how do you feel?
Well, me personally, I don't have a problem with a lot of stuff that's going on, simply because the type of education that I have and the years and years and years of personal research into my own culture and my own ancient story, and then I spend quite a few years doing an investigation of history as well. There are two different things. So inside my environment, the only thing that I see inside my environment is representative of my own culture, my own ancient story. So when I'm out and about and I run into people that are arguing and fussing and fighting about racism, I don't participate in that. I don't involve myself into politics, because that's another man's game. I deal strictly with, from a cultural perspective, from my own cultural perspective, just like every other nation on the planet does. Chinese people deal with Chinese issues. Japanese people deal with Japanese issues. Korean people deal with Korean issues. And but here in America, we have labels and brands that's been placed on things, and people are confused. And every nation that I know of outside the United States embrace their own culture. And I think that's what everyone should do. And if Europeans or Caucasians are proud of their culture, then they have every right to be. And I think that anybody else should be proud of it and embrace their own. As far as the all the hoopla, that's not solving anything. And you discern, if you get out there, that a lot of people, as Raising Sand, don't even know what it's about, what they're Raising Sand about. They don't have any knowledge or any history or any background information on the statues they even trying to remove. You know, they don't have the history on that. And not having the history on that, a lot of them don't even have the history about their own culture. So that's my take on that.
Andrea?
Well, again, Charlottesville had very little to do, absolutely nothing to do with the statutes. We had a group of people. I love the way my friend who was the medic described it. She said it was like being in a tiny French town when the Nazis rolled in. So again, you have people coming into a college town nestled in the foothills of Virginia. They're carrying not only guns, they're carrying automatic weapons. They've got knives in their boots. The young people who don't have automatic weapons have sharpened pool cues that they're going to be able to use to stab people. They've got mace. They've got pepper spray. But they claim that they were here to have a peaceful rally. Number one, they didn't look peaceful. We are talking about people who lit torches and surrounded a church at night where people were gathered in prayer. First-hand experience, not hearsay. People were gathered in prayer, and the whole idea was, can we terrorize these people? My friend who was led out of the church said it's very much like, she said she felt like she was escaping from the Nazis as she's going down back alleys and climbing over garbage areas and wandering around the city in the dark. So this is not people. And as a matter of fact, these folks who came in, they were not from Charlottesville. Most of them were not even from Virginia. So your take on when your town is invaded by people with guns who spit on clergy, what exactly is your reaction supposed to be?
Terhawka?
Well, I'm like this, dealing with my own personal skills and training. In the skills that I have, I meet that with a whole different set of circumstances. Number one, that wasn't right. That was wrong. And it depends on how you're going to handle the situation.
Definitely.
I wouldn't expect the clergy. So even though I do know some, and I do have some friends, because we have a pretty large unit. And we are all professionals, and we are heavily armed and heavily skilled and heavily trained. But we don't, for a man to come up and spit on someone who's peacefully assembling and exercising a peaceful right, that is wrong for them to do that.
Hang on, Cynthia, and that is exactly what happened. Some of our clergy were older. As a matter of fact, we can probably almost say some were elderly. And these were young men. They were probably mostly less than the age of 30. They pushed these people over.
Now, do you think that the bottom line to this, the factor that sparked all this, do you think it's racial? Do you think it's economic? Or do you think it's the administration?
Well, it's solely racial. Again, these folks identify themselves as white supremacists and Nazis. So they are claiming a racist history. Now, again, we go back to Germany prior to World War II and say that the reason for the rise of Nazism was economic. These folks were not claiming an economic theme. They marched into Charlottesville solely on a racial theme. Now, here's another issue I have with the people who came into Charlottesville. A woman died. The next day, one of the leaders is appearing in an HBO documentary where he is literally laughing at the fact that this woman was killed. And then a day later, we see these posts defiling this woman's memory, calling her a 32-year-old childless slut. And they were probably doing a favor to someone by killing her because she hadn't done her womanly duty and had any babies. So, again, I'm struggling to find a justification for why we want to support anything that these people, that I'm struggling to call them people, want. So I may have been ambivalent about the statues before. Now, no, they're gone.
Terhawka?
Well, you're absolutely correct. We can't ignore the fact that racism does exist inside the United States. And there are quite a few open wounds still there, and these wounds will never heal. I don't ever foresee in the near future racism leaving the United States of America. It's too ingrained. All the cards haven't been placed on the table yet. There are things that have occurred inside this country in the past that a lot of people don't even know about. There is a sister that wrote a book. Her name is Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. She wrote a book called The ISIS Papers, where she clearly described as best she could the foundation and the historicity of white supremacy and its roots, its origins, the psychological ramifications of what it was inside that book. And I like to recommend that people get a hold of that book, and so that we can really understand how entrenched this thing is inside the United States. And as far as us talking about moving forward, I don't ever think that we will ever be a people where we can be civil deep down in our hearts toward one another until all the cards are laid on the table. And whatever needs to be done, if it's an apology, if it's economics, or whatever one done in the past is done, and what was wrong was made right, I don't think we will ever be able to do that. We look at the internment of the Japanese people during World War II, and these people were snatched from their homes, and they were put in concentration camps, but later they were released, they were apologized to, and they were given reparations. The same thing with the so-called Indians, which are not Indians, but they were being constantly rewarded and stuff. But it is the people that have been labeled as black, which is, there's no such thing. They have a nationality just like everybody else, and they are absolutely indigenous to this continent. However, they haven't been given the apology. They haven't been given the full-scale reparations across the country. And until the apart from that, until the clear description of what happened not only during the transatlantic Holocaust, but the internment and enslavement and the true owners of the land is revealed, we're going to still be stymied, and we'll still have these tensions, and we'll still be going on.
Andrea, a very, very, Andrea. Very excellent point. Excellent point. And one of the things that I found so incredibly interesting is, again, so many of these Nazis, white supremacists, know absolutely zero about the history of the two men who they claim they are celebrating their legacy, Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee was probably one of the most complicated men on earth. I cannot envision what it must have been like for Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee was the son of Virginia. He was a gentleman. He was something of a scholar. He was married to a woman who was mulatto. A mulatto woman is a woman of mixed race. So would they have been defending or demanding that we keep this statue up if they had a clue as to historically what they were talking about? They tell the story of when the Lees abandoned Arlington House and she gave the keys to, quote, a black maid. Well, what they don't say is that, quote, black maid was more than likely her cousin, if not her sister.
Now, Andrea, there's been a rise in racial tensions since Donald Trump took office. Do you think this is a reaction to the 8 years of the Obama administration?
It's really, really, really difficult to say. It is, and at the same time, it isn't. I mean, we go all the way back to the rise of the Klan in the 1800s after the Civil War. They've gone underground. They never really, really disappeared. And then you look at Ferguson and you look at the killing of black people by police and you say, well, this has been going on for a very long time. Charlottesville was probably, it was a flashpoint. They, the Nazis, were what happened in Charlottesville. They marched in and created a flashpoint by murdering someone and literally laughing about it.
Tahoka?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think go ahead.
Well, for one thing, I also teach law, and we have did a thorough investigation on the historicity of the United States of America. And what a lot of people don't understand is the United States, and all of this stuff can be Googled. In fact, I just put several articles giving a complete breakdown on the United States and how it operates. Most of us still think that the United States of America is acting as a country. It is not. The United States of America is a corporation, just like Walmart and anything else. The United States filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 1933. However, they issued House Joint Resolution 192 in June of 1993. They called for, Roosevelt called for all Americans to turn in their gold to help with the war effort. And then in return, they were issued civil certificates, gold certificates. The $20 bill stated that paid to the bearer of this note, $20 in gold. But when the people attempted to send the notes back in for some of their gold back, they were simply given another piece of paper. Once they got the gold out of your hand, then they made you economically powerless. The United States filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 1933, and they are currently still in this bankruptcy. And when we look at the President of the United States, there are some things that we had to pay attention to. First of all, he will sign to uphold the Constitution of the United States. What he's doing is he's signing to uphold the protection of the corporation and its rulers and constituents. Then he will later come out and put his hand on a Bible and hold up his other hand and swear, which is just verbally something he said, to uphold the Constitution of the United States. That's just something he said. He could say something else later on. He is not the president of a country. He's the president of a corporation. It has been that way ever since 1933. We live in a lawless society because law goes all the way back to natural law. And what we have today is statutes and ordinances, and that's exactly what they are, masquerading as law. And now when it comes to the police department, we have to look at the history of the police. How did they come into existence? Why were they created? And when you get this information, then things begin to unravel for you and things begin to make a lot of sense. We perform a ritual every, 4 to 8 years, where we go out and vote to install a president of a corporation. It to me is a phenomenon because we're not dealing with a country. We're dealing with a corporation, and the only thing that a corporation can do business with is another corporation. Now, all three of us have went to school, and we all learned third-grade grammar. We learned the difference between a proper noun and an improper noun. Your third-grade grammar teacher told you that if it refers to an individual, especially their name, is spelled in upper and lower case letters. That's a proper noun. But what did they teach us about if all the letters are capital? That indicates anything other than a man or a woman. That's chattel. That's property. That's slave. That's a corpse. So when you go to the cemetery, you look at all the gravestones in the cemetery, all the letters are in all capital letters. That's because everybody in there is dead. Every bill that you have, your driver's license, your bank statement, in your Social Security card, anything that you get through government, or any other corporation is addressing you as a fictitious corporation, because that's the only thing a corporation can do business with, and they're regarding you as dead. So there's a whole lot of stuff that we have to understand to unravel the mystery and get to the root of the situation so that we can begin to solve the problem.
Well, we're getting a little short of time, so Andrea, tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm one of the founding board members of People Demanding Action, and we are a national organization. We work around the issues of justice, climate, economic, and social. I also do a lot of work in Washington, D.C. in terms of endorsing legislation, getting members of Congress to support various pieces of legislation, and we also write legislation. One of the new bills we're going to be working on will be the Heather Heyer laws. In North Carolina, there is a bill. It is still alive in the North Carolina Senate that basically says that if you choose to hit a protester with your vehicle, basically you will not be prosecuted for a crime. So we are going to have to go and write the opposite of that law that says if you use your vehicle and you injure protesters or kill them, you are going to be going to jail for a very, very, very long time. That's what we do.
Tahoka, you kind of listened a little bit to our conversation on Sunday. Tell everybody who you are, what you do, and tell everybody about your Blog Talk Radio show.
Okay, I'm Tahoka Monel Bay out of Jacksonville, Florida. I am a minister of education for the Moorish American government. My nationality is ancient African Egyptian Moorish. And I host Blog Talk Radio, Moorish Talk Live 100. I air at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when we do a show. We're involved in producing our own food, growing our own food, and showing the peoples in the community how they can go out and grow their own food and organic fruits and vegetables for themselves. That's a major project that we are involved in. Apart from teaching law, our ancient story, and history, that's what I do.
Very nice.
That's great. So this has been a really lively and wonderful conversation. Things evolve in this country, I would like to have you both on again to share your views. Would that be okay?
Sure. You have my number. Just give me a call.
Yep.
And I'll see if I can get on there with you.
Andrea?
Cynthia, you know you can always call me at any time.
Thank you. So you've been listening to Andrea Miller of People Demanding Action, and right, and Terry Parker Bay, who's a lawyer and a teacher, and he has a blog talk radio show.
Wait a minute, that is a lawyer. That's all right. Go ahead.
And well, tell everybody what you do then.
I did. I teach contract law, but I'm not a lawyer.
Okay.
He's an educator,
and he's based in Florida. So tell everybody what your show is and when it's aired.
Okay, my show, actually I don't have a set time to air, a set date, but it occurs at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is Moorish Talk Live 100, And all you have to do is just type my name into Google, which is Tahaka Amana LB. That's T-A-R-H-A-K-A. Amana is spelled A-M-A-A-N-A, and then E-L, and then B-E-Y. Tahaka Amana LB. You type that into Google, and everything on me will come up, and then you can just simply click on the links.
Thank you so much. So I look forward to talking with both of you again. So this is Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. And if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on my show. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Welcome.
Have a great day.
Thank
have
you,
a great
Cynthia.
Week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.